Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. I love when Maria hosts. Anybody else? Like Maria, she's so excited about just life in general. And so, good job, Maria. I know she doesn't like doing it all the time. So anytime we can get her up here, it's wonderful. Well, my name is Nathan, and if we have not met, I would love to meet you today after service. And we are, like Maria said, we're concluding our two-week series called Stop, Start. Next week, we're going to start a four-week series called Words, Words That Have the Power of Life and Death. Last week was just awesome. I was so glad to hear Kevin, Pastor Kevin down from Chula Vista, who came up. He did such a wonderful job and talked about things that we needed to stop. Well, today we're going to kind of talk about some stuff, like Maria said, that we need to start. Well, last week, Brooke and I set out on a date night, and like we do whenever we go on date nights, we started talking, and we use these times to, you know, talk about things because we have four kids running around. It's hard to get anything serious talked about. And so whenever we, you know, go on dates and we talk, apparently, my wife says that I can kind of just talk and then go on and on and on and on and on. And she says if no one stops me, I'll just keep talking. I don't think that's true, but at least that's what Brooke says. So we were driving and we were talking about something. And when I say that we were talking about something, I mean I was talking about something. And I was going on and on and on and on and on how my point of view is the best point of view that everyone should have. And how that she was, you know, respectfully incorrect on something. And I was just talking. And as I'm driving and talking, something happens that is pretty normal when I drive and talk. And embarrassingly normal. I miss my turn. But, you know, there's always another turn. That's my philosophy. You miss one, there's always another one you can take. And so the next one comes, and I kind of miss that because I'm talking. And then about the third one comes, and then I take that turn, and I turn, and then I realize I don't know where I'm at, and so I turn again, and then I turn again, and then I turn again. And Brooke says, Nathan, where are you going? I was like, well, I was going to this place, but and she's like, well, that's way back there. And I said, yeah, you're right. So I was trying to get around there this way, but it's not happening. So I had to do something. I had to stop the car, make a U-turn, and go in the other direction. That's really what this two-week series is about. Whenever we realize that we're going in the wrong direction, we stop some things, but it's not enough to just stop where we are and realize we've been traveling in the wrong direction. We have to begin to start going in the right direction. Now, there's actually a spiritual, theological term to describe this in Scripture. It's all over Scripture. The apostles taught about it. Jesus talked about it. John the Baptist talked about it. And this word is called repentance. Repentance means to stop going in the wrong direction and to turn and start going in the right direction. Repentance is actually the first act in a life of faith. The first thing we do when we begin to follow Jesus is we admit that we've done wrong. We admit that we need a Savior. We repent, means we stop going in the direction we have been going in. We ask forgiveness of our sins, and we start going in the direction that Jesus would like us to. We begin following Jesus. Last week, like I said, Kevin talked about stopping some things, some hurts, some habits, and some hang-ups that keep us trapped. This week, we're going to talk about starting moving in the right direction. You know, if you're not a Jesus follower yet, I want you to know that East Lake Church here, this is a safe place for you to just come and be a part of this church family even before you believe. This is a safe place for you to check out the claims of Jesus, to see who he was and who he says he is and who people that follow him say he is. You belong here even before you believe. And this is a safe place for you to do that. This is also a safe place for you to begin that decision whenever you're ready to do so. But for those of us in here who are Jesus followers, we live in a constant tension. We live in the tension of the already, but not yet. The already, but not yet. We are saved and we are being saved. We are saved from eternal death, yet we are continually being saved from the traps, the sin, and the bondage of this life. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, but we are also continually being made new. We are in a process. We are in a process of continually being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives into this new creation, into the best version of ourselves. Like Kevin talked about last week, God's desire is not to make us into somebody else, but it's to transform us and change us into the best version of who he has created us to be. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, you can look here on your outline, or it's on the screen. Paul writes, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We have taken off the old self. We have repented. We have put on a new self, one that is being renewed each day. One is being formed into the image of our creator, Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, as we live in this tension of the already but not yet, we are to participate with God in becoming this new person. There's two sides to this. God is doing the work, but we're to cooperate with him, to participate with him. The becoming work of this new person doesn't solely rest on us. It's not up to us only just to change who we are and start doing new things different. It's not up to us to change ourselves. The Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out, but we're to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he does this. He nudges and we respond. He heals, we receive his healing. He tells us our next right step, and then we obediently take that step. We can absolutely stop the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, though. God comes in when we follow Jesus. His Holy Spirit comes inside of us and begins to work on us, but we can stop it. He doesn't force his will on us. So it's this cooperation, this participation that takes place. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit? How do we participate with him in becoming this new person that he's creating us to be? So you can write down the big idea for this series with me, the first thing in your notes. The big idea for this two-week series is to stop an old behavior, we have to start a new behavior. To stop an old behavior, we have to start a new behavior. Now, if you missed last week, you can always catch up at eastlakechurch.com, and we're the Temecula location, you can listen. And last week, Kevin talked extensively about even a book called The Power of Habit, and it's a book that kind of it found some new information about our psychological state, and one of those is the power of the habits we have in our life. Now, whenever we have a habit that's a bad habit, we want to stop that. Neurologically, we have to start something else. We have to replace it with something else. We can't just stop it. Now, I love when modern science simply reveals something that God has already known and shown to us in Scripture. Because he's talked about this all through Scripture, that we have to replace bad habits, we have to replace our old ways with new ways. Look here in Ephesians how Paul describes this process of cooperating with the Holy Spirit to see lasting, God-ordained change happen in each one of our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. Paul writes, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Stop that old way. Stop the bad habits. Stop the old behaviors, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Then we are to put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Today, the first thing, number one, how do we partner with God in this becoming process? How can we cooperate with his Holy Spirit? We stop believing lies and start trusting who God says I am. Stop believing lies and start trusting who God says I am. You know, we have all believed lies. Not everything that someone tells you is true. If you have four small children like we do, most things your children tell you aren't true. Don't believe that Nolan hit Ethan first. Don't believe it. Investigate it, because you never know what the truth is when you got to get it. We have to stop believing lies. We all believe lies. Not everything that people tell us is true. Not everything we tell ourselves is true. We so easily get caught up in believing lies that keep us trapped. You know, there's a very real enemy out there, and his name is Satan. And Jesus actually called Satan the father of lies. That's who he is. He is the father of lies, and he's constantly trying to lie to us about who we are. He wants to get us to believe lies that will hinder your freedom. It'll hinder your spiritual growth. It'll hinder your purpose. These lies that he wants us to believe, they'll steal our joy, and they'll keep us from the life that God desires for us to have. Lies like, you're not good enough to be a Christian. Lies like, if other people knew who you really are, they wouldn't like you. Lies like, you don't have anyone who loves you. Lies like, you can't have this full, abundant, peaceful life that God says that you can have because you've made too many mistakes. You've messed up too many times. You know, you are a mistake. The lies that you can't lead anyone else to come into a relationship with Jesus. That you can't really show the world what Jesus is like because you know what you did last Tuesday. It's summer, so it's like, you know what you did last summer? Okay, all right. Those who grew up in the 90s, all right. We watched this doc. I'm not going to go into that. We watched a documentary about the 90s. It was hilarious. I was like, oh, yeah, we grew up in the 90s. Okay. We need to stop believing lies and start trusting who God says we are. Stop believing these lies that are not from God and begin to trust who God says we are. God tells us who we are. He tells us through Scripture. He tells us when He speaks to us through reading His Word. But we have to believe and trust who He says we are. Who does God say you are? He says that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are holy and without fault in His eyes, that you've been adopted into His family, that He is excited about you being in His family. He's excited about you being in His family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, Paul writes, even before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. I love that last line, because it's not like God was obligated to do this and just did it because He was, well, I got to do this. He gave Him great pleasure. He was excited to adopt you into His family. No matter how many mistakes you've made in the past, no matter how many times you've messed it up, you are loved and you are chosen. And if you're a Jesus follower, you are holy, without fault in His eyes, and you've been adopted into His family. Now, I want to show you here just a quick illustration of the difference between who God says we are and who we believe ourselves to be a lot. On this first slide up here, it's just a blank white screen. It's a blank canvas. It's pure. There's no blemishes. There's no faults. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a white screen. Well, maybe besides the dust, we need to clean off the TV, but you get the point. Then what happens is this next slide comes up. Now, when you look at this now, what do you see? You see the dot. We don't see all the white space around it. We don't see all the potential in it. We simply see the one imperfection that's on the screen. And our eyes focus in on that imperfection. The same is true with our lives. We have all this creative potential that God has created us and all these strengths, and then we see the imperfections and we hone in on those failures, on those habits, on those hang-ups, on those parts of us that are messed up. And we think, well, I can't be this new creation. I can't be something wonderful because I've made mistakes. There are blemishes in my past. And then we begin to define ourselves by the blemish. We begin to define who we are according to our failures. We're not the culmination of what God has done through us. We're the culmination of all the mistakes that we have made. And then God steps in. And when God steps in, He makes something new. He makes something beautiful and wonderful. And now we don't just see the dot. We just see this beautiful tapestry of the wonderful butterfly. And God takes our mistakes, takes our past, takes our failures, and He transforms them, makes them new, and creates us into something wonderful. But we have to stop believing the lies that we are the culmination of our failures, and we have to start trusting who God says we are. We are loved, we are chosen, we are holy, we are new in Christ. Let's look back at Ephesians chapter 1. It's the verse we read earlier, but as we read it the second time, I want you to notice who is performing all of these actions. Even before He, God, made the world, God loved us. God chose us in Christ to be holy without fault. God decided in advance to adopt us. He adopted us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do. God is performing the action. God is the one working. We just need to partner with Him, trust Him, and allow Him to do His work. Number two, how can we partner with God in this becoming process? Not only do we stop believing lies, we start trusting who God says we are. We stop forcing change. And we start allowing others to help me. We stop forcing change and we start allowing others to help us. Now, In our house, whenever we were living in Salem, Oregon, we had this living room right off the kitchen, and we had our sectional couch set up, and there was this one spot in the living room that was my spot. I mean, it was the perfect spot. It had the perfect proximity. It was right directly in front of the center of the TV. It had the closest proximity to the bathroom and the kitchen. I got everything I need right here. Like, this is my perfect spot. And I remember, like, the kids would sit down and be like, no, that's Dad's spot. Get out of Dad's spot. Like, this is Dad's spot. You know, and they begin to know, like, this is Dad's spot, and this is where Dad sits whenever he watches TV as a family. This is my spot. Well, I remember there was this one particular evening, and it was like, it was going to be the perfect evening. It was cold and rainy outside. One of those days where you just wanted to, you know, curl up on the couch and just watch an incredibly awesome movie. And not only this, I could watch whatever I wanted because Brooke and the kids were at her mom's. So it was my turn to pick anything I want, my perfect spot on the perfect evening in front of the perfect television. And so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make myself the perfect cup of hot tea to go along with this evening. So I go into the kitchen and I brew up some hot tea by calling Brooke and saying, hey, how do you do? Brew up some hot tea. And she told me. And so I got it ready, you know, and I sat down on the couch and I'm about to watch a movie. And I go to reach for the remote. And I remember it clear as day. It was like in slow motion. As I go to reach for the remote, I knock the brown mug that's sitting there. I knock it off the couch. And in slow motion, this hot tea just goes all over this very light colored carpet. And so I think, this is not good. And so I go grab some paper towels and try to wipe it up there for a minute. It's not really working. I can see this giant stain forming. I think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So, like any good husband, father, and man, I rearranged the whole living room so that the couch covered that stain. So Brooke came home and she's like, hey, you rearranged the living room. And I was like, yeah, I know that you love it when things are rearranged and they're new. And she didn't know for a while. Well, come to find out, there's kind of this special cleaner we had for our carpet that if you would have used it right away, it would have taken up the stain. But the longer you let it set in, the harder it is to get up. But I did what we naturally do when we make mistakes. We conceal. Whenever we do something wrong and we fail, we mess up, we make mistakes, we conceal it from those around us. Out of fear, we hide our mistakes. We hide our faults. We put on this facade of having it all together. And when we do this, there's no way for others to help us. If I would have called Brooke and asked for help, I could have got that stain up because she knew where the cleaner was because she knows those things. Whenever we hide who we are, we hide our faults, we hide our missteps, and we don't allow others in, we hide it from them, we're not allowing them to help us. And what we're doing is we're actually not participating in God's family the way that He's created us to do so. See, God has designed us for each other. We have been put into each other's lives in a church family to help each other. But we have to allow others to help. You know, there are some that think that you don't need a church to follow Jesus faithfully. It's become a more popular idea in recent times that, well, I believe in Jesus and I don't need to be a part of a church family in order to serve Him faithfully and have a relationship with Him. Whenever we do that, whenever we fall into that kind of thinking that we don't need other people, all I need is just me and Jesus. That's all I need is me and Jesus. Whenever we begin to believe that, what we're actually doing is we're telling the creator of the universe who put the millions of stars in their place, who put all the molecules that we needed to live inside of our body, who holds the oceans in their spot, who created the mountains, we're telling Him that He's wrong and that we're right. We're saying, I know better than God. I can do this my own way because God created us for each other and He says that we need each other. We're either being extremely arrogant or ignorant. See, God gave mankind a gift. The gift was the church. He gave us His Son, His Holy Spirit. There's many gifts He's given us, but one of those is the church. The church is to be a community of Jesus followers who are encouraging one another, who are lifting each other up, who are sharing each other's burdens so no one has to carry their burdens alone. We need a church family in order to serve Jesus faithfully. We need to allow others to help us in order to be all that God has created us to be. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 2, Paul writes it this way, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are spiritual should gently and humbly." Now, I had Maria bold those because sometimes we miss that as well. Like, we're not supposed to come up and be like all angry and judgmental. Gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. How do we obey the law of Christ? By sharing each other's burdens, by helping each other. You know, another way that we are the church, that we do life together in this community at Eastlake, is through our growth groups. Like Maria said earlier, growth groups are smaller groups that gather between 6 and, you know, 12, 14, 18 people. They share their life together. They grow in friendship. They grow in faith. But what happens is we can begin to share each other's burdens when we're in that type of relationship that we can experience in a smaller group. You can't just come here every Sunday and sit in the chairs and listen to this, you know, very, very strapping, good-looking man and be all that you can be. Other Jesus followers need to know you and know who you are so that they can help you in this journey. How we get to know each other is through being in a growth group. So I'd encourage you, in a couple of weeks, we're going to launch these at the beginning of the school year, launching all kinds of growth groups. I'd really encourage you to pray about joining a growth group and taking that next step in your faith journey. Number three, how we can partner with God in this becoming process. Number three, we're to stop going back and start participating in God's kingdom work. Stop going back to our old ways and start participating in something new. And we need to stop stop going back to our old ways of thinking, our old behaviors, and start partnering with God, participating with Him in advancing His kingdom. God loves to use His people to advance His kingdom. He loves to use each and every one of you to do good on this earth for the benefit of others in advancing His kingdom, not our own, but His. You know, Jesus in Matthew, he was speaking to his disciples and those who were following him, and he actually called his disciples, those who were following Jesus, he called them the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." So we are to stop going back and we are to start being the light. God says, those of us who are Jesus followers, you are the light of the world. We're to participate with Him and to start being the light in our neighborhood. Start being the light in our office workplace. Start being the light in our platoon. Start being the light on our street, in our families. You know, what makes this church so great? Now, some of you, today's your first time, or maybe you've only been here for a little while. As a church, we've only been going here in Temecula for about a year and a half. And from the very beginning of this church, what has made it great is there has always been people willing to step up, step out of their comfort zone, and be the light. There's always been people willing to participate in what God was doing here. You know, 2 weeks ago was a prime example of what makes this church great. We had this family fun day. We had 170-something people here on that day. We had tons of fun. But before we got out there and played all the games and all that, there was a team of volunteers that gave of their time and energy to make it all possible. And then after we had a great time and everyone was leaving, we had a group of volunteers that stayed behind and cleaned everything up and got it all ready for the next week. People participating in God's kingdom work. But also, one of the things that just warmed my heart the most at our family fun day is we decided, let's just not have fun as a church family, but let's actually be the light to people around this world. Let's do what we can. And you, spontaneously, you as a church family hand wrote over 100-something letters to Marines deployed in Kuwait. This is our family fun day. And you guys, we said, hey, let's do something great. Let's actually write letters to Marines who are deployed as well. And some of our kids got involved, and it was so wonderful. It was people stepping up and being the light, saying, you know what, I'm not going to just live my life for myself, but I'm going to do whatever I can to help others. We're to stop going back to our old ways and start participating in God's kingdom work. Start being the light. You can't do everything, but everyone can do something. You can't do everything, but everyone can do something. And this is what we're talking about around here all the time, is participating in God's kingdom work and being a part of this church family. And now I'm going to ask some of you to consider stepping up once again. We're about to launch these growth groups in a few weeks, and we need people willing to step out of their comfort zone and host a growth group. By hosting a growth group, and we saw a video earlier today, by hosting a growth group, not only do you grow in friendship, grow in faith, but also you begin to partner with God in His kingdom work as you serve others by hosting. Now, you don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a preacher or theologian to host a group. All you really have to do is love people and be able to push play, and we'll provide everything else. Like, that's it. It's that simple. I got to love people. You don't even have to have a house you can host in. You can host it in a Starbucks. You can host it in a restaurant. You can host it at a park. All you have to do is be able to love people and be able to push play. If you can't even figure out the push play part, we'll help you. We'll show you how to push play. It's not difficult. It's one's a triangle, and then you push it. Would you consider... My wife thought that was funny. Would you consider hosting a group? It's not difficult, yet it makes such a profound difference in other people's lives. Now, some of you here today have been believing some lies. You've believed the lie that God is not with you, that He's left you on your own. Some of you, you've believed the lie that you're not good enough. You've made too many mistakes in your past that God doesn't love you. You don't belong in a church family, because you have too many things in your past that if people knew, they wouldn't love you. Those are all lies. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. More than you could ever even think up, He loves you more. He loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to this earth to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Whenever we choose to follow Jesus, whenever we have Jesus in our lives, we have all that we need for this life. So many other things in this life that we think we need, we don't really need. If we have Jesus, we have all that we need. Because when we have Jesus, we have a Father who listens. We have the power of love behind us. When we follow Jesus, we have a Holy Spirit inside of us. We have all of heaven ahead of us. Whenever we have Jesus in our lives, we have grace and forgiveness for every single mistake. When we have Jesus in our lives, we have direction for every turn, and we have an anchor for every storm. When we have Jesus in our lives, we have all that we need. You know, each and every time in my life, when I look back and the times where I was afraid, when I was insecure, when I was stressed out, overwhelmed, when I was full of anxious thoughts, every time it came down to a trust issue. When my fear and anxiety was high, my trust in God was low. When I'm stressed out and I'm overwhelmed, my trust in God was low. But when my trust in God is high, when I'm trusting Him, even in the midst of a difficult circumstance, that's when the peace and joy that only comes from Him comes, is whenever I place my trust in Him. I'm going to ask you this morning to maybe trust God in a way you've never trusted Him before. To open up your heart, allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and to show you what is your next right step. Your next right step today may be to follow Jesus. That next step for you might be to forgive someone who's hurt you. That next step may be to host a growth group. That next step may be to open up to another Jesus follower, to trust that they have your best interest in mind, to open up to them about a hurt or habit, a hang-up or a failure of yours so that they can help you. A couple weeks ago, I shared one time that I had walked through depression and how I opened up to a Jesus follower who I knew would pray for me, who I knew would care for me. And through that opening up, through allowing someone else to help, I came into a place of freedom. The next step for you may be to let go of the pain and the baggage of the past. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, to show you what's next, and then to boldly trust Him and take that next step? Every single week we ask that question, what is your next right step? It's a matter of trust. The Holy Spirit reveals it to us. We trust Him by taking that step. Would you close your eyes with me this morning? A minute ago I said maybe your next right step today is to choose to follow Jesus. Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He paid the price so that each one of us could be forgiven of all of our mistakes, so we could spend eternity in heaven with Him. And all we need to do to receive forgiveness and spend eternity with Him, and in His Word it says we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We make a public confession that we're choosing to follow Jesus. So this morning, if you want to begin that relationship with Jesus, maybe you've had one in the past, or maybe you have never had a relationship with Jesus, but you want to begin that today. In a moment, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and then I'll be your public confession. You can raise your hand so I can see it, and I'll include you in this prayer. And if you believe the heart, you believe this prayer in your heart, and you choose to follow Jesus today, then you are saved for eternity. If your next right step is to begin following Jesus today, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Awesome. Go ahead and raise it up right now. You can put your hands down. Jesus, we thank you so much for the sacrifice you paid for us on the cross. We believe that you rose from the dead, that you live in heaven, and we ask forgiveness of our sins and our mistakes. We trust that you forgive us today. God, I pray for every single one of us who've been believing lies, that today we would see your grace, we would see how much you care about us, how much you love us, and we'd begin trusting you in new and in greater and in deeper ways. In Jesus' name we pray.